road again, going places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again.
Welcome to The Drive. Thanks for listening. I appreciate the opportunity to just share and talk about things that I've been thinking about. And some things that, you know, you can use in the classroom that can make a difference right away. In previous episodes, we've talked about EdCamp and Twitter and blogging and some baby steps into the educational technology world. But today, a topic came up today I want to talk about something a little different, maybe more thought-provoking than actually a step that you can take into your classroom. Educational technology is so incredible. There's so much of it. How do you pick it? How do you choose it? What's good? What's bad? And, you know, what it boils down to is if you're a crappy teacher, you're going to be a crappy teacher. And you need help to not be. And educational technology doesn't change that. So it's a great tool, but it also is one that I think some things are starting to develop inside of our educational system because of educational technology that basically is creating a situation of have and have nots. And so this past week we were reading in one of my classes and the subject of equity came up, and that's a really difficult subject with educational technology because so many things that you want to try and do with technology in the classroom requires those students to have that technology in their hand. And what if they don't? What if your school system or district or whatever can't provide that? What if it's a situation where there's no infrastructure to support it? What if? And so my question then, you know, here's the deep thoughts part. What is it with our funding maybe that could be altered or tweaked or redone so that equity is not an issue? I know that there are students in very low socioeconomic areas that having access to be able to watch a lesson, a flipped classroom lesson, it's not possible outside of the school day. How do we fix that situation? How do we justify the huge difference in facilities between a well-supported suburban school district with a nice tax base and an inner city school located in a very, you know, poor neighborhood? How do you justify the differences between those two systems, where in one system, you know, for example, the football team, they get new gear every year and they get new footballs every year and they have a top flight weight room and they have meeting rooms with smart boards and all kinds of things that you know are cool and awesome. But how do you justify that when you look 10 miles away at another high school with a different population and they're on the, you know, fourth or fifth year of a series of uniforms, they meet in a locker room, they don't have the smart board and technology to use? How do you justify that? And how is that okay? And you know what? Honestly, I never thought that much about it when I was a high school teacher. I taught in a suburban school. I taught in the school that had the cool stuff, that tried to do the good things. I taught in a district that was slowly moving towards educational technology, not as fast as I wanted. I talked with teachers who go, well, I'm not doing that if I can't let every student do that. And I would argue with them, but not that I've had a complete change of view. But how do we fix that? How do we make it where if I want to have a flipped lesson, I don't have to worry about what the kid does? Where is this student going to be able to get the video at home? I just feel like there's a better way. And so I know, for example, where I live in a suburban community, but the school district that my kids go to, we don't have a large tax base. The school is primarily funded through bonds and through property taxes and some state and federal aid, but there's no Walmart or something like that that just draws a lot of tax revenue for our school district in my area. And so as a result of that, and as a result of some of the restrictions from our budget placed on us by our government, in Oklahoma primarily, but I know other states are also dealing with this too, it's been very challenging then for our students in to continue to build some of this educational technology into the school system and to create that equity. And so how do you balance that need where students need access to this but don't have it? Teachers deserve the right to teach in a school that provides them with technology and helps them use it. What can we do differently to do that? There has to be a better way, right? I love the flipped classroom. I started flipping my classroom several years ago. I think it's great. The school that I was in, you know, I told the kids, hey, if you can't watch it here, then if you can't watch the lesson at home, let me know. We'll figure out a way that you can get the lesson before school, after school, during lunch, you know, whenever. And I said, and if you don't have access at home, if you just, you know, come tell me on your own time, you don't have to raise your hand and share that now, but just let me know. And I did this for several years, and I never had anybody come tell me they couldn't do it. But I did have kids that would come share that maybe their internet was spotty or whatever, and we would figure out an alternate way for them to get the lesson so that they weren't necessarily, you know, so that they didn't miss out on the learning. But there's situations where students don't even have that opportunity. They go right from school to work or whatever because they're helping support a family. I don't know. It just seems like there's a way that we can change the structure. I don't know a lot about our school law. I don't know a lot about national school law. I know, you know, what I was responsible for in my own slice of the world, and I know that I often disagree with a lot of the policies that are created that are outside of my control, and maybe that's why I disagree with them. I had no opportunity to do that, but it seems to me that funding for schools is based on sort of an archaic formula that, you know, might have worked at one point in time, but maybe should be totally re-examined now. A suburban school district in a, you know, in a well-supported community shouldn't be an issue with the inner city school as far as facilities and things like that go. And what kind of support structures are we trying to put in place for these students that have very little support outside of school? I don't have answers for this, but it's something that I've been thinking about. It came up in a Twitter chat the other night with a teacher who I really like, and we were talking about flipped classroom, and she says, until I know that 100% of my kids have this access outside of the classroom, I'm not going to do it. And I understand that, and it's hard for me to argue that, you know, point of view, because in some, you know, you're depriving that particular student of an education, and that's not right, and I hope I never did that. But at the same time, I'm reminded of a cartoon that I saw several years ago by a non sequitur, and it was a teacher, a school of fish, with a teacher fish leading the pack and answering one of her students that no, she needed to swim a little slower so that everybody could keep up. And at the back of the school of fish, a shark had eaten the trailing students. And I feel like the system we've developed into feeds that analogy. And so I just wonder, is there a way? And I know catching every kiddo in every situation, in every family, in every community is pipe dream. I get that, but what about trying to get there? What about making strides to get there? What can we do? I don't know. I don't have answers for that. I mean, maybe something where, you know, you just blanket fund the schools and they don't have to rely on bonds or property taxes or things of that nature. Maybe that money is allocated differently. I don't know. I'm not a school finance genius. I just know my teacher view of school finance. You know, a situation where, you know, again, I don't know all the ins and outs, but it seems to me like if you set up a voucher program and money follows the student, you're depriving a school of that money to the benefit of another school. And why should that be an issue? Why can't we create a system where the schools are equal, and then it's not as big a deal? I don't know. I just think that there's some issues to be worked out, and I think they can be worked out, but they'll be very, very difficult. And things are often done because that's the way they've always been done. And maybe this is an opportunity to say, hey, you know what? We're going to do it better. We're going to do better for our kids. We're going to do better for our teachers. We're going to do better for education in general. And just create a situation where equity, that gap in equity, ceases to exist. I don't know. Something to aim for. So that's kind of my thinking today, based off some reading I did last week, over the weekend. And not necessarily ed techie, but just food for thought, right? And thanks for listening to the podcast. I really appreciate it. I love your feedback. Please continue to share it. If you enjoy the podcast, share it with somebody else. Let them know. And just thanks for participating. I think as teachers, we just grow together. And we learn together. And we use each other. And we steal ideas. And I hope something in here benefits your classroom. I do this because I stole this, you know, podcasting idea from others, and I thought I had my own unique spin that I could put into it. So thanks for listening to The Drive. I want you to have the best year ever, and just make a difference. You do, whether you realize it or not, you're going to make a difference in somebody's life. And it doesn't matter if you're a school administrator, a teacher, an assistant, or if you're a stay-at-home mom. You make a difference, whether you know it or not. Thanks for listening to The Drive.